I declare I didn't know that much scripture when I was 18 years old. I'm serious. I think I might have known John 3:16 when I got saved at 18. We had raised in church, two different churches growing up, but I couldn't quote anything. I could quote John 3:16, but that was it, and I didn't know what it meant. But that's about it. But what a blessing that is. What a blessing to see those young people. I appreciate you doing that, because that's what's going to get the job done. It don't matter what's happened politically. I mean, it matters, but folks, the only hope is Jesus Christ. And the only hope is the Bible. You know, ain't a thing in the world changed in our life as far as what God said in His Word, not going to change. And so I'm just thankful to be here and grateful to be here. We are in a battle, but it's like we said, the children of Israel looked at Goliath and said, God, he's so big, there's no way we can defeat him. David took a look at Goliath and said, Lord, he's so big, I can't possibly miss him.
That's right.
Amen. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. When you got God on your side, it makes a difference. Now, how you like my jacket? This is the gift they gave me today. I just happen to have my gray pants and everything. My tie may not go the best, but I like it. Amen. Amen. We'll be in Proverbs 21. We're just going to read a few verses there. Just let me say thank you on behalf of Rhonda and myself. It's always wonderful to come down here. We appreciate you folks so much and helping us with the ministry and praying for us. And you've helped us over the years, and we're so grateful and thankful. We try to be as frugal as we can be when it comes to the ministry and when it comes to our deportment every day and what we spend and everything, and try to be as thrifty as we can be. But I'm just thankful and grateful that you have a burden to help us. And there is getting some things done. And we are able to help some folks either over the websites or even by telephone. I get calls all the time wanting information, and I'm able to send things. And then the ministry itself, folks, there's nothing special about me whatsoever. And I mean that sincerely. It's like I told you here before, I couldn't care less about notoriety or fame or having my name in lights. All I want to do is be a blessing and a help. That's what I wanted to be this morning. I hope we helped. That was pure Bible this morning. I mean, that's it. And I was talking to the fellas out there, and they was talking about the Bible. And, you know, for these folks that say that you have to have the original manuscripts before you have the Bibles, like saying you got to have the original cup Christ and disciples used to take the Lord's Supper. I mean, think about it. You know, a lot of this stuff is just common sense. And we have a lack of that. We have a lack of that these days. You about have to put, you know, you want to put something across people's forehead. Think. Because you got all kind of instruments doing your thinking for you, you know. But I appreciate the church here and the stand you've always taken on the Bible. I appreciate Timothy and Katie being here. I held Timothy when he was about this big, you know, like this. But now look at him now. My Lord. But his daddy, Ray, was one of my friends I worked with. He and I were kind of enemies before he got saved. But when he got saved, boy, that completely changed that. And I've never seen such a change and a transformation in a human being in my life. And I know, Brother Timothy, we're going to see him again.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I'm as certain that Rayudy's in heaven as I am I'm going, or anybody in this building. And I'm looking forward to that day when we have that great grand reunion. Proverbs 21. The Bible said in verse 27. Everybody there? Proverbs 21:27. The Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. That's one of those words that's stronger than hatred. When God said he abhors something, or it's an abomination, that's stronger than the word hatred. The Bible said, how much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Now this is what I want you to see, verse 30. There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. The horse prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Years ago, there was an old spiritual that our African-American brethren used to sing called, "My arms are too short to box with God." And that's true. My arms are way too short to fight with God. So if God's dealing with you and He's after you, better surrender. He's stronger than you are. And God is a gentleman, and He's not going to overpower you and save you against your will, in spite of what John Calvin said. But the fact of the matter is, if God wants you to do something, you better do it. Because you can't fight Him. You can't fight God. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom now as we look to Your Word. We're grateful and thankful, Father, for all that You have done. We pray now today that You'll finish this day off, Lord, with the Word of God for us and to us. And we're thankful, God, that all the Bible is not to us, it's all for us. And we're thankful for that. We pray now You'll bless the Word tonight in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to verse number 30. And I want to preach tonight on an exercise in futility. Now, the word futility or futile means something that's useless, something that's frustrating, something that is vain. And that's what I want to see tonight and show you. If you have a confrontation between deity and humanity, who do you think is going to win? We want to see that tonight. Look over, if you will, with me. We're going to talk about an exercise in futility. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. What I want to do, and this is a new message, so you know, be gentle with me tonight. I'm just trying it out and see how it works. And so you've heard it for the first time. I hadn't even heard it myself. But in John chapter 15, notice this. I want you to notice, first of all, an exercise in futility. The Lord said, Jesus Christ said, "They have kept My saying." They have kept My saying. Look at it here in John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If ye were of the world will love his own. But ye, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also. I remember when I was a kid, the teachers or my mother, or probably one of them, would say, "You mark my word, boy."
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, that's where that comes from. Look your Bible in Jeremiah 23, and then we'll go back to John. Look your Bible in Jeremiah 23, and notice with me, they can't stay out of that King James Bible. There's 35 original plots in Hollywood, and all the movies that's ever been made since they have been making movies. 35 original plots, and every one of them came from a King James Bible. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Look at Jeremiah 23 and verse number 18. The Bible said, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard His word? Who hath marked His word and heard it?" That's where that thing comes from. That's where it comes from. Excuse me. In 1 Samuel, look over in 1 Samuel chapter 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know the scenario there, the scene that Hannah is praying. That's a good reason for a man not being married to two women at one time. Because her adversary had teased her by not having any children. And what you do there, you just hit her over the head with something. But I mean, anyway, it's not what Hannah did. She did what she should have done. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember Me and not forget thy handmaid, a man child, but will give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord, and all the days of his life there shall no razor come upon his head." He's going to be a Nazarite, Samuel. Notice, it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Well, Eli wasn't right with God. You know he wasn't. His kids were raising the devil and destroying, eating the sacrifice. They shouldn't be eating the fat. And they were doing other things, which I won't go into now. But Eli wasn't right with God. And he looked at her and said, well, she's drunk. No, she wasn't drunk. She was in agony of heart. But he marked her mouth, which means he marked what she was saying, although he couldn't hear anything. Now look back at our text there in John chapter 15 and notice what the Lord's talking about here. We see it plainly, he said, in John 15 in verse number 20. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. What does that mean? That means if they marked what the Lord said, they'll do the same thing to you. Now, Jesus Christ is not down here on this earth walking around today in spite of what some people say. I've seen him in my bedroom and all kind of stuff. No. If Christ is down in your bedroom, then he wouldn't be at the throne making intercession for us. But anyway, and if what Jesus Christ said, if they tried to bring contention against it, if they tried to find contradiction in it, they're going to do the same thing to you, because although they can't get to Christ to do it to him, they can get to you to do it to you. So when people try that with you, don't be surprised, because they did it to the Lord. Now that's why I call this an exercise in futility. Can you imagine a puny man trying to contend with the God of the Bible, manifest in flesh? See, the problem is they didn't believe that. That was the problem. I do.
Yeah.
I know what the Bible says, and I know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. And so I got better sense to try to argue with him. I have a Bible, but these people thought that we mark his words, if we kept his saying, if we're going to find some contradiction there. Now, any preacher that's preached any number of years, as many words as they say, they have to be very careful, because somewhere down the line, somebody's going to accuse him of contradicting himself. Amen? And so you got to be very careful with that. But they're going to do it even if you don't. I mean, they did it to our president. You know, they're going to do it to you. That's right. And they did it to Jesus Christ. And this world, literally, most of this world hates Jesus Christ. They hate his name. The Jews were taught from the time they were 3 years old and went to Hebrew school that Jesus Christ was an evil man hovering above them looking to steal their souls. That's what Jews are taught by the rabbi in the synagogues. Now, if you think I'm lying to you, go talk to a Jewish rabbi and ask them what they think about Jesus Christ. Amen. And you wouldn't believe when the rabbis teach those young 3-year-old and 4-year-old kids about Jesus Christ, according to Jacob Gartenhouse, he said, the harsher the words, the more ungodly the words they use, the better. They blaspheme Jesus Christ in Hebrew school. And that is why the Jew today thinks when you say Christian, that's Roman Catholic. And they think that Christians are Roman Catholic. Catholics are not Christians. Catholic are Mariolaters. They've never been Christians. There's nothing about Catholicism that's Christian in any way, shape, or form. They venerate Mary, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you think I'm lying again, go talk to a Catholic priest and ask them where their authority is, and they'll tell you. Why come when a Catholic gets in trouble, they say, Mary, Mother of God? She can't help you. She can't help you. She's in heaven. She ain't worried about you. Amen. But Jesus Christ is. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And let me tell you something, folks. Anything or anybody or any religion that tries to downplay the deity of Jesus Christ or try to catch him in his word, try to contradict his word, they're an enemy of God Almighty. You can mark her down. So he said, if they have kept my saying, they're going to keep yours. If they contradicted him or tried to contradict him or tried to find error in his word, they're going to do the same thing to you. And I'm not Jesus Christ. So what do I need to do? I need to know what the Bible says, so that I can defend the Word of God, not my own, not my own intelligence, not my own, how much I've studied, but defend the Word of God and our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know the reason why is most Baptists today will cuss out a Mormon, well, not literally, but they'll run a Mormon away or a Jehovah's Witness because they can't handle them. There ought not be a Baptist in this room, if you've been saved a length of time, not be able to handle a Russellite or a Mormon or a Seventh-day Adventist, any of them. You ought to be able to handle them. Baptists, independent Baptists, ought to be the most intelligent people on the face of this planet when it comes to the Bible. Amen. Amen. That's why your pastor has Sunday school. That's why he preaches the way he does and preaches doctrine. And any preacher that's worth his salt and is calling of God is a real pastor and cares for the sheep. That's what they're going to do. Amen. Amen. Not a hireling. Now, a hireling don't care if the wolf comes and gets you. But a pastor does care. Amen. So they kept my saying. I want you to notice number two. They attempted to catch him in his words. Look at Mark chapter 12. You say, Brother Mitch, they tried. Yeah, it's an exercise in futility. Because they never did it.
Amen.
They never accomplished it, not one time, the whole time Christ walked on this earth. Look at Mark 12, verse 12. The Bible said in Mark 12, verse 12, it says, "And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words." Could you imagine? Can you imagine the wickedness of man trying to catch Jesus Christ in his words? Can you imagine? Look in John 2. Look in John chapter 2. Mark John chapter 2, and notice with me, the Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse number 18. John 2, 18. The Bible says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" See, there's your spiritual discernment. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Didn't have a clue what he's talking about. But he spake of the temple of his body. See that? Notice, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Why? Because that's what the Jew was supposed to look for. We don't look for miracles. We look for the word of God. We're not Jews. Amen? And we don't look for signs. Of course, you've got a bunch of professing Christians that look for signs today. But folks, God gave us the word of God. The Bible said the Jew requires a sign, but the Greek seek after wisdom. And the wisdom's right here. Right here. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man."
Yep.
How? He's God. He's God. So can you imagine? Can you imagine? Look in Matthew 20, look in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 59, the Bible says this. "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, through many false witnesses, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." They were still beating that same dead horse. The same one they were beating 3.5 years before when he went in to come there and told them that same saying. They're still here. He is being tried for his crucifixion, and they're still beating that dead horse. Amen. Now, folks, if they're going to do the Lord Jesus Christ that way, don't you think he's going to do you that way? Yes, they will. Look at Matthew 27, verse 37, and notice with me. The Bible says in verse 37, the Bible said, "And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Let me throw this in while I'm pitching. Amen. In order to get the whole superscription above the cross, you've got to have all four Gospels together, showing that they're a unit. You will not get the whole superscription in any one Gospel. You've got to have all four of them together to get the whole superscription above the cross. Amen. And the scripture cannot be broken. John 10:35. Look at it. "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left.
And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If they did the Lord Jesus Christ that way, they're going to do you that way. You've got to be very, very careful when you're out here as a child of God and you in front of people in your family, in front of people you work with, to be careful that your words do not contradict themselves.
Amen.
And see, we're not Jesus, but we have His Spirit in us. So, folks, listen, they were still spiritually blind all the way to the end. Look in Luke 23. Look in Luke 23. Scripture was Scripture. And notice this. In Luke chapter 23, the Bible said, verse 1, Luke 23:1, the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation. Uh-oh. How about that, folks? That's the first thing. We found this fellow perverting the nation. That's political. All right? Number two, notice this, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. That's a lie, too. That's messing with your finances. Number three, look at this. The Bible said, saying that he himself is Christ the King. That deals with religion. That was a lie too. They said he was King of the Jews. Amen. And notice number four, and the Bible say, oh Christ, a King, that's your government. So four things right there they accuse Christ of. They're accusing every child of God today. Amen. Amen. That's it. Politics, finance, religion, and government. And Jesus Christ was innocent of every one of them. But until the day he was crucified, they accused him of these things. And he wasn't guilty. If they accused him, my brother and sister, they're going to accuse you. So don't think it's something that, well, this is rare, because it's not rare. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. And Luke 23, to the very end, they did that to the Son of God. Number three, let me show you this. Luke 20. Turn to Luke 20 and notice they endeavored to take hold of his words. They endeavored to take hold of his words. Look at Luke 20, verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him. You want to know why they watch you when you say, I'm a child of God?
Yeah.
When you on your job say, I got saved, they'll begin to look at you
and
watch you and listen to you and everything you say and everything you do, where you bow your head over your food when you eat your lunch. For they'll watch you. They watch the Son of God, they're going to watch you. He's not down here for them to do it, so they're going to get you down.
Amen.
Amen. And if they could drag Jesus Christ off the throne out of heaven today and crucify him again up on the square in Washington, D.C., they'd do it.
Yes, sir.
And you can bet your life on that. Notice this. Notice the Bible said they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. Oh yeah, we're going to go political now. We're going to catch him saying something against the government, then we got him. Amen? Well, notice this. And they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Oh, you better watch it when people start that stuff. They start flattering you. Because they lay a snare for your feet, according to Proverbs 29:5. Now look with me now. The Bible said, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Now I thought that was real instrumental that Christ said, Show me a penny. Here's the man that gave up. Here is the God that gave up the palaces of heaven to come down here on this earth and die. And he didn't even have a penny for an illustration.
Yeah, right.
That don't sound like Oral Roberts, does it? I didn't think so. It don't sound like Joel Osteen does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, folks. Am I lying or not? Just because you're saved don't mean you're going to be a millionaire. You say, why, Brother Mitch? Because you don't get it all down here.
Amen.
Paul's the greatest Christian in the New Testament died with the books and parchment and the cloak he left at Troas when he had his head taken off by Nero. Boy, I'm telling you, he was a failure, wasn't he? He didn't drive a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore unto Caesar the thing which be Caesar's, and unto God the thing which be God. Verse 26, look at it. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. You want to shut the mouth of the devil and the devil's people? Use the scripture.
Amen.
Look at Daniel chapter 11. This flattery thing, you need to see this. Ezekiel and Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, the Bible says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. He shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by what? Flatteries. And with the arms of the flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant, after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. That's going to happen, sure as a God in heaven, in the middle of the tribulation period. Now we're out of here. Amen. We're with the Lord. But the Jews make a peace treaty with that's on this earth, make a treaty with the Antichrist. In the midst of the week, 7 weeks, he breaks that covenant and causes them to be sacrificed. Then shall be great tribulation, according to the Bible. Amen. That's the tactic of the Antichrist. Let me tell you something, folks. Nothing wrong with giving a person a compliment, as long as you're not lying about it. Somebody comes up to me and says, you know, you're a good-looking guy. I say, well, what do you want? I do have a mirror. Like a fellow said one time, said he fancied himself a real ladies man. And the other guy said, I trust that he does not own a mirror. Anyway, I know what I look like. There's no qualms about that whatsoever. Amen. But folks, listen to me. When people start flattering you, be careful, because they're trying to get in your pocketbook.
Yeah.
Or even worse,
they're
trying to discredit your Christian testimony.
Amen.
Better watch it. They did our Lord that way, never got it accomplished. But we're not the Lord, right? We're not the Lord. Number four, I want you to notice. Look in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. What are we preaching on? An exercise in futility. The more they fail, the madder they got. The more they fail, the madder they got. The more they fail, the madder they got. My Bible tells me when he healed that man there in the temple that they were in a rage. They were angry. They were mad. See, you couldn't heal on the seventh day, Brother Mike, but it was all right to plot to kill a man on the seventh day. That's all right. You know, you talk about hypocrites. We got them today. I mean, you know, folks, things ain't changed in 2,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're using the same tactic today they used 2,000 years ago and 6,000 years ago. Notice this. I want you to notice Matthew 20:15. They counseled how they might entangle him in his talk. A bunch of puny human beings trying to entangle God manifest in flesh in his talk. Matthew 22:15. Notice the Bible said, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk.
Yep.
Trying to entangle God manifest in flesh in his talk, get him to contradict himself, get him to say something that was against what he had already said. I read, I think, this week that our illustrious president was just voted in, fussed at some of his speech makers and said, I'd never make a statement like that in a speech. They said, President Biden, you just said that 2 weeks ago. And they showed him where he said it himself. We got problems. We got problems. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
So you know Jesus Christ can never be confused. If God is not the author of confusion, and Satan is, there's no way you could confuse Jesus Christ. And they never did. That's why it's a futility. It's useless. It's useless. Finally, he shut their mouth and never asked them another question. But I'll tell you what. Look in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Oh, my goodness, folks. If they can't fight against God, and they couldn't, this one thing for sure, you and I can't. You got people that goes off to universities and studies 8 years to learn geology and learn evolution so they can disprove Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You know the men that produced the revised version in 1881, Brooke Foss Westcott and Fenton John Anthony Hort, you know I was going to have to make one, at least one reference to that. Both of those men believed in evolution. They said, reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I don't see how anybody could say that that was a real history. He said, I don't know why anybody with any sense could ever imagine that was a real history. Both of them, reading Darwin, said, I've read Darwin, said it's fascinating, said I think his arguments were unanswerable. Why don't they talk about Darwin right before he died, when he disavowed everything he had ever written? They don't tell you that, amen? Neither does the Russian government tell you that Nikita Khrushchev got saved before he died. Amen. Nikita Khrushchev, when he was a young man, memorized the entire Gospel of John in a King James Bible. Man was brilliant. He was a genius. But right before he died, that book got to him. And he trusted Christ right before he died, and the Russian government squelched it. They don't let you know about that. He's the one that said that Russia would destroy the United States from within without firing a shot. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not going to get that from the news media. Amen. You forget that. They don't give enough true news to put in the left eye of a blind mosquito, folks. There ain't no way you're going to get it. Look in James chapter number 3, verse 13. James 3:13. The Bible said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge? You young men and young ladies, you want to be wise. You want to be endued with knowledge. Look what the Bible said. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you're wise, if God gives you wisdom, you got to remain meek. I didn't say weak. Weakness is not meekness. Meekness is having the ability to do something, to overpower something, but you don't. Amen. Now look at this. Moses. They thought he was, they feared Moses. He could have destroyed him. He could have said, God, I'm with you, man. Wipe him out. And they'd have been gone. Yeah. But he didn't. The Bible said Moses was the meekest man above all the earth. Yeah. But they feared Joshua. God put the fear of God in, for them with Joshua, just like they did Moses. Now notice this. The Bible said, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If you got confusion, if you got envying, and you got strife, it's not of God. And so they were trying to bring confusion in Christ's mind to get him to mess up and contradict himself. What a mess. They never did it. They never did it. Number 5, and I'm done. Look in Luke chapter 11. This is good. Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11. My Bible tells me in Proverbs 29 verse 25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare. You and I should not fear man. Only one we should fear is God. God said don't fear him that's able to, you know, to kill the body. Rather fear him was able to destroy the body and soul in hell. Now, folks, you know that's got to be the millennial reign because it can't be dealing because our bodies don't go to hell when we die now, just our soul. So it's got to deal with some time when there is a lake of fire on this earth, and that's the millennial reign. Down in Edom, down in Ezra, there's two lakes of fire in the Bible. There's a lake of fire, Revelation 19, and there's the lake of fire, Revelation 20, and they're not the same. You say they are in all the other translations. You're absolutely right. New King James says the lake, the lake. Your Bible says a lake and the lake. Folks, if I know English, and I don't, but if I know English, one is the indefinite article and another is the definite article. That's your King James Bible gives that distinction, and the only book on the face of the earth that does. Now look at this now. The Bible said in Luke 11:51. Everybody there? Luke 11:51. I like this. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it should be required of this generation. Can I throw something in while I'm here just very shortly? There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, right? Starting with Aleph and ending with Tau. 22 letters, right? A to T. There are 24 letters in the Hebrew alphabet beginning with Alpha, beginning, ending with Omega, A to O. But when God said He's going to bring on this generation all the bloodshed, notice what He says, from A to Z. From A to Z. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Why, you got a Bible here, folks, it says, tells you over in Luke 19, that says God's going to allow the Jew to be closed in all about and be pushed into trenches. Going to be put into trenches. Well, folks, that's what Hitler did. What years was that, Brother Mitch? Well, I'm looking at Luke 19, 41, 42, 43, 44, and 45. You reckon God knew something when the book of Luke was written that was going to happen in 1941, 42, 43, 44, and 45 that He prophesied about, and there it is? What a book you got here, folks. What a book you got. Notice me now. The Bible said, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hinder. Look at it now. Look at it. And as He said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge Him vehemently and to provoke Him to speak of many things, laying wait for Him and seeking to catch something out of His mouth that they might accuse Him. They sought to catch something out of His mouth. Get Him to talk about a lot of subjects, and that way He'll contradict it. Never did. Yeah, he never did. No wonder they crucified Him. No wonder they crucified Him. Conclusion. Look in your Bible in Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Folks, they not only did this to Jesus Christ, they did it to all the Old Testament prophets. Guess what? They never did contradict themselves either. If they did, we wouldn't have a Bible. And if they did, this Bible that we do have wouldn't be worth the paper it's printed on. If you show one error in the Bible and prove it, this universe could explode. But the Bible said He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. Now look at it in Ezekiel 20 verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Ezekiel 20 verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and set before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. God said, I'm not going to listen to your questions. I've told you what to do. I gave you 10 commandments and gave you 613 commandments, and you hadn't done them. And you're going to try to sit down and accuse me now? Will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. God said, you cause them to know their abomination. Let that get right. Then they'll come and we'll talk. Look down that same chapter in verse 30. In the same chapter in verse 30. And notice with me here. The Bible said, wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after your abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day, and shall I be inquired of by you? O house of Israel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. But you know what I find? I find the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man and the Son of God. He allowed them to question Him. He allowed them to examine Him. He allowed them to accuse Him. And He answered every accusation with the Word of God. And they couldn't catch Him. You say, why? Well, folks, He's standing there is the incarnate Word of God. And what He was quoting is the written Word of God. You got those two. It don't matter how men try to accuse you, you're going to be covered. That's why I try to use scriptural words from the pulpit. I don't use the word R-A-P-E. You've heard me say this before. I use the word force. R-A-P-E is the New International Version. If a child asks you, why did Brother Mitch say that? If you got it in the Bible, I'm covered and so are you. But if I use words that are not biblical, because I want to use gutter language like some of these preachers do, then you're not covered and neither am I. Amen? And your child's going to say, well, Brother Mitch claims to believe the Bible and he's preaching things not in the Bible. And they'd be absolutely right. We need to think about those things. Need to think about those things. When a woman is going to have a baby, I don't use the P word. I use she's with child. That's a Bible word. Which sounds better to a young child? Your mama's with child instead of the P word. Or some of the stuff they preggers. It's gutter language. There's nothing gutter language. There's nothing for a woman to have a child is a holy thing. It's a righteous thing. And people make a joke out of it.
Amen.
Folks, we're in a mess in this country, but thank God, folks. Thank God. Thank Amen. God. You got the right book. Amen. Thank God. And you got the right Savior. They didn't convict him one time. He told him in John 8:44, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He told him, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. No wonder they crucified him. He didn't go on to say, every head bowed and every eye shut. Anybody want to raise their hand, come down to the altar, want to live a better life? No, they didn't. They tried to stone him, and he passed right out of their midst.
Yeah.
Before Abraham was, I am. And he passed right through their midst. Why? Because he's God. All right, brother.
Amen.